first thing we do is pray and ask God to forgive us, ask Him to grant us the understanding of the gospel, ask Him to apply the blood of Jesus to our account. That's how we get to pronounce you clean, even though you're not clean. That's because I love you. It was coming or the exousia, the Greek says, to be called the sons of God or the children of God, even those that believe on His name. So it's all about a gift. God's gift to me and you is that He has given His Son, Jesus. He has given a very clear explanation of it. But you and I, when we come in, we're very rough. You know what? We kind of remain rough because we don't ever really fully develop. You know, we're constantly in a process of getting better day by day. And we learn more and more about His Word. We learn to trust Him more about things in life. We learn to lean on Him more and to depend on ourselves, our flesh, and the world less day by day. But we kind of have an infirmity. That's like a word for sickness, like we're somewhat sick in the spirit and the fact that we are not totally clean, and it is a process. God pronounces you clean by faith in the gospel that He gave His Son Jesus in order to pay everything you owe entirely. And when you accept Him, God seals you with the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 4 and 26 and following there. But here He says, looking at Romans 8 again, it says that likewise the Spirit that God has given us, the Holy Spirit, is the third person of the Godhead who is given to everyone who trusts and believes in Jesus the Son, who is the second person of the Godhead, and trust and believe in Him by faith. That means I put my entire weight, I lean my entire soul upon what Jesus has provided for me, and that alone, because that's the only thing that satisfies the Father, is what Jesus has provided for me and you. So we want to understand that when we get a grip on that, God will accept me because of Him, and He provided Him because He loves you. He loves me. He doesn't want us to perish. That's why I forgot upon you. That means me and you are going to hook up. We're going to learn some things together. Learn from me. I accepted you with that infirmity because my Son was perfect, and He paid your bill fully, entirely. So on the level of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, is something higher than human knowledge, human communication. It's something spiritual and supernatural. And so we don't have that without the Spirit of God. That's why the Scripture says if you do not have the Spirit of God, that you are none of His. So you can't be saved without the Spirit of God. But God has provided the Spirit, and He gives the Spirit freely and willingly to everyone who embraces the good news, the gospel of Jesus, that He's given His Son, so that whosoever you are, no matter where you are in life, if you believe in Him, you will not perish. God has made the public proclamation to the whole world. He told me and you and His whole church, go out and teach all the nations. Teach it to everyone. God is generous. He wants everyone to hear the good news, believe it, and be saved. So it's a pleasure. It's a high calling for me and you to share the good news with others. You know what He told us, and we've been looking at the parables throughout this study, about the mysteries of the church age. And the parables have shown us some things already, that God has sent the word out. He's casting the world like the word out into the world like seed. He said that the sower went out and sowed. We're sowing the word every which way so people understand the good news we give it. In other words, it's going to everybody, no matter who they are, no matter what kind of folks they are, Jews, Gentiles, no matter, and that's all the people in the world, by the way, Jews and Gentiles. So either a Jew or you're a Gentile. Or you are the church of God. There's really three divisions after the first coming of Christ. There is the Jew, the Gentile, and the church of God. Amen. And the church of God consists of Jews or Gentiles who have believed the gospel of God, that God has given Jesus His Son in order to save us. So that's the third division. We hope you're in that division number three, that you are in the church. You are part of the body of Christ. You have believed the gospel. You know that God loves you. And He has made a way for you, and that's the only way there is. There is no other way to be saved. God has made that clear, and the church must preach the good news that salvation is a free gift given on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ and only Him alone. One way that you can be saved. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. And so that's great news. God has configured the world around Jesus so that everybody hearing that good news can receive it and be blessed. Now, you know what? This is what's so beautiful. God chooses you, and that's where we're going. He selects you. You don't really choose Him. You have to do it physically, and like, say, for example, you hear the good news and you tell somebody, I believe in Christ. I want to be saved. I don't want to be condemned. I don't want to go to hell. I want to improve myself. I want to be improved by God. I want to be made better, a better man, a better woman than I am. And I want to move forward in the things of God. That's what the proclamation is when we accept it. Well, God proclaims the good news. It's good news because we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God says, I'll give it to you by faith. You see? And so it's a free gift. God gives us that gift. His Spirit calls us to himself. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father who sent me. Draw is God who calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so God has called all of us. And so that's where we are. So this passage here in Romans is telling us that the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not. We do not know how to pray as we ought. In other words, prayer is a very important thing. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession. The Holy Spirit knows everything about everything because he is God. He knows all about you. He knows all about me. He knows all about God. No one else knows all about God except the Spirit of God. See, and that's who you have been given. You've been equipped with the Holy Lizo. That means good news. God has given a proclamation of good news that whosoever is for everyone, whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. God will impart salvation to you. He will seal you with the Holy Spirit. He begins to instruct you in things that even though I'm sick in my nature, I'm a fallen man. I haven't done everything right. I don't do everything right. I still got some ways of thinking that aren't right. I have some actions that are not right as a result of a lack of understanding. Sometimes it's just a situation of rebellion. We know that the stuff we're saying or doing or thinking is not right. And most people won't be very frank with you like this. You know, Christians in the church are all, no matter who they are, they got something that's not perfectly right, has not been cleansed completely, that needs some additional work. That's why you always hear me say, and I'm going to say it again tonight, the biggest room in the world is room for improvement. Nobody has become totally perfect. And everyone needs to go deeper in Christ. Everyone needs to understand the word better. Everyone has a sickness in their spirit of some sort. Now, that's why the scripture says stuff like, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They all have become unclean. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. Romans 3, you can read that. It's just kind of a picking up of other verses from the Psalms, other places in the Bible. They talk about the total depravity of human beings. A lot of people are insulted or slapped in the face when you talk about total depravity. Oh, I'm not that bad. That's the first thing we want to say. Truth is, yes, you are. So am I. Got to get truthful. Got to get real with God. Yeah, you got some issues. I don't care who you are. Doesn't make any difference how long you've been studying the Word or what school you went to, all of that. Because the Scripture says all of us are as an unclean thing, Isaiah 64, verse 6. And all of our righteousnesses, the things we think are really spiritual and holy, are as filthy rags in God's sight. God sees all of what the best of you're doing is filthy rags. Okay, and that doesn't excuse us in any way to do anything that's not clean or not righteous. It's just a hard fact that you and I, by ourselves, no matter how long we've been studying and praying, we haven't become perfect. And God chose you. He calls you out of darkness. You didn't call him. He wasn't lost. We were. And the truth is, he loves you. That's why he called you out. So we need to come off the high horse, get down to the facts. That's why the word says that God, what we know, as we're going to get to here in a minute. Let me go on down. Moving on. So he says, these things that the Holy Spirit deals with me and you about are groanings. He's praying on a level that you and I have never learned to pray on. We get better. We start to learn how to pray better. We start to learn to wait on God instead of being anxious, wanting to do everything right now. God, I want this to happen right now. I got a daughter or a son that's messed up or whacked, and they got issues going on. I know it's wrong, Lord, and I want them to change today. Well, they may not change today, but him, put his spirit, will pray about it. And he will help you and me learn how to trust God with it. That's what it means to cast your burden on God. We're going to trust him with the things that we are out of our control. Look how much stuff is out of our control. What in your life is out of control? Just be truthful for a minute. I'll have to go Joan Rivers on you. Can we talk? As she used to say all the time. You hate it. So do I. I hate all the stuff in my life that's out of control. I hate the fact I can't get everybody to do things the way I think they should do it. That's very frustrating to me. So you know what you have to do? Take that load. Take that burden. Call on the Lord. Go into sincere prayer with God about it. And turn it over to Him. Give it to God. That's why Jesus said that. Take my yoke upon you. Yoke up with me. Tell me your problems. Let the Spirit pray for you. The Spirit's going to do it anyway. You have no control over it. The Holy Spirit is automatically going to pray for you and for me in order to... We have to learn to unload, cast your care on Him. That term cast means to throw. Take it and throw it up on the Lord. Take it and throw it. Ekbalo, to send it out. You know, I'm going to throw this up on God. And I'm going to get it off of me. I'm going to take the burden and the load and give it to God. See? So we have to learn that. When you call on God, He said the peace of God that passes all understanding will wrote that, and we mentioned this from the letter to the Philippians on Sunday, that he was writing from a prison, being in the worst conditions that you and I could possibly imagine, awful conditions. And yet he was given what we call the epistle of joy, letting us know that God, he knew that God has never left me. If I'm in the prison, it's because he wants me to be there for this amount of time. And so I'm going to just go with that. I'm going to roll with it because I know he has my best interest in mind. I know he loves me. I know he's got the best plan in mind for me. Like we read in Jeremiah, where everybody always talks about that, Jeremiah 29, where he says, I know the plans or the thoughts that I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to give you a expected end, to give you a victory, to give you what I want you to have. God says, I got your whole life plan in mind. I know what I'm doing with you and your life. So you have to trust me. And what had happened there, and I don't want to digress too many times, obedient for a long time. And God says, okay, I got to spank the whole country to get y'all together. So what I'm going to do is cast you out of your land, take you out of the temple. Because they had started to do a worship, remind them of him. They began to worship that stuff instead of the God who gave it to them. And they were doing stuff their way instead of his way. So he said, okay, fine, we can break all that up. You don't even have to be there. I can take you out of there. And so he did. He took them out for 70 years. He told them to rest the land for 70 years, every 7 years, and they didn't do it for 10 sets of seven, so that was 70 years. So he said, you won't do what I said? Okay, fine, I'll just take you out and put you out of the land until the land can have her rest. And so he did, and the people who were in there, it didn't mean he abandoned the people. Those who had faith in him still had faith in him, and he was still with them, no matter that they were in a captive situation where they had come under the captivity of Nebuchadnezzar, whatever the problem was. God says, I'm still with my people, the people who still know me and still troubled are going through. I'm still with you. And so he told them, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a victory, an expected end, God says. I know it's how this is all going to turn out, in other words, and you don't. So you call upon me and you'll search for me, he said, and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Keep on searching for me, you'll find me. I'm right here. Not but a prayer away for you. And so God says, I always know what you are going through. I always realize what's in your life. And if there's some stuff in there you don't understand, trust me with it. I can handle it. So that's what this thing is about here in the Romans passage we're looking at. Is that we all have an infirmity. We don't know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit makes intercessions for us that cannot be uttered, things that cannot be spoken in words. He communicates to God in faith because he knows everything about you and me. And he knows everything about our Father who is in heaven. And he knows that that Father loved you so much that he gave his Son. And his Son, Jesus, was also willing to give himself. That's why the scripture says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, be vested in it. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why? Now look at that. That's the most unimaginable thing. That chapter 9 and the woman with the issue of blood and all these different people that we know about. Even the centurion, I was going to tell you about that, but our time's going to get away. There was a Roman centurion, and once he heard about the works of Jesus in Matthew 8, he said, hey, my servant is at home sick, and I need you to, he's about to die, would you come and help? And Jesus told him he would help. He said, but hey, look, I'm a man of authority, and I know you. I know you're a man of authority. You can just, he said, because people obey me when I tell them what to do. He said, I tell one to go here, and he goes. I tell one to go there, and he goes, or he comes. Whatever I tell them, they do. So you just speak the word, Lord, and my servant will be all right. That's what he said. Jesus, wow, man, that blew him away, because he said, you know, such great faith has not been found in all of Israel. The people who should have expected that I have that authority didn't. And here's a Roman Gentile centurion telling me, you have faith to believe, I can just say, let your servant be healed, and he'll be healed. Isn't that amazing? Read that in Romans 8. Matthew chapter 8, when you get time. I'm not going to have time here because my time's getting away quicker than I expected. But I want you to understand, Jesus does have authority. He does love you. He is in control of everything. No matter what you see going on, he knows about it. No matter what's happening to you in your life, he knows about it. No matter what's happening to your children, your siblings, whatever it is, whoever it is you're concerned about, your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, he knows about it. And what he has a solution for it, and he can give you peace even in the middle of whatever you're dealing with. And so that's where you got to go. Hang your hat right there. So this Spirit, he understands. The Holy Spirit understands our infirmity, and he helps us, it says here. He is our helper. That's what he has been given to be the paraclete, to be laid alongside us, to help us to get through this life and all of its challenges. And so it says here, moving on, let me move another notch here. It says, so he's giving God prayers and groanings that cannot be uttered. This is not speaking in tongues. People want to say it is. But the scripture is clear that these are things that cannot be uttered. There is no utterance for it. In other words, what can be said with a mouth, a human mouth, or any other kind? There is no utterance. It's a supernatural thing that God, the Holy Spirit, does. And he communicates with God on a level that's off the charts. We have no way to reckon it or understand it. Just like John over in Revelation said, you know, he heard some inexpressible words that a man is not allowed to utter. That's the level we're talking about. We're talking about when he heard the thunders that uttered their voices, and somebody said to him, Lord, John, don't write that. You know, it was nothing understanding or capability. And it's communication. I think that's what Shatner experienced when he went out into space. Ooh, look at this. You know, blew his mind. We mentioned that. But the fact is, there are some things above the human understanding, and that's where the realm of the Spirit is. The Spirit is on that level, and he is able to communicate with God in ways way deeper than what we understand. That's what we have here in the Word. Moving on. Let's move along. Time's getting away. It says this in verse 27, Romans 8, 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, that's the called out ones, me and you, holy ones, set apart, according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit prays in accordance with the will of God, and it's because God chose us, and he knows the plans that he has for me and you. He knows that I'm going to get you through this no matter what it is. If you walk with me by faith, you continue to be a disciple. That's what Jesus said, right? He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. What is the truth? His word. And my truth shall, and the truth shall make you free. See that? So knowing the truth is going to make you free. Free from what? The anxieties you have, the pressures that you have, the things you don't understand, the things you hate, that you don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to handle it. I'm unable to process whatever this is. You know what? It'll help us with mental challenges. Sometimes we load up with stuff and it becomes a burden to our mind. It interferes with our rest, our sleep, or even with just our general peace in general in our life. So God says, I got a solution for all of that. Meditate in my law day and night. Call on me and I will answer you. Walk by faith. In other words, whatever I tell you and teach you, believe it. Not by sight. Don't go by what you see. See, for we walk by faith, Paul says, and not by sight. So we got to get there. That's the deep level that we want to get to. And this is because God is one of the great mysteries of God is that he chooses me and you. His voice today, he said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. You know, trust him, believe him. He's right there for you. He's given a son for you. That's the biggest thing that you need to know. If you're starting off with this today and you're hearing me somewhere in the middle of this, I want you to know God loves you. He's given Jesus for you. He's configured the world around Jesus to make it easy for you to believe in him. No matter what issue you're dealing with, even death, as horrible as it is, that's one of the most horrible things we have to deal with in life, is dealing with death. Jesus defeated death, got him out the grave. That's why he's the most famous individual in the history of the world, in the history of time. And so he did that for you. Realize that. He died for you to bear your burdens, bear your infirmity, and to give you peace that passes all understanding. So we want you to believe that today, and want you to receive the Spirit of God today. If you have received the Spirit of God, we want you to rejoice today in him. Don't let the devil get you down. Don't let the flesh get you down. And y'all know this about me. I'm going to say it one more time. I've become convinced that the flesh is worse than the devil. You know, the internal struggles that we have in our mind and in our hearts about stuff in this life is more personal to every one of us than the devil. The devil is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at one time bothering everybody. But the one who is omnipresent to you and to me, I'm omnipresent because I'm here all the time. I'm here. That might sound crazy, but think about it. You are there all the time. You're there. Anytime you're in your skin, you're there, and you're constantly present. So this one is more of a problem to me than anything else. So that's what you got to realize. And these are the kind of things you want to understand and take it to God and ask God, do something about this one right here, who is the one that's bringing me back around and circling me back through stuff that denies or defies your word. Forgive me for those things. Help me to defeat those things. Give me power over those things. Give me victory over those things. Do not let me be so proud I can't talk to my brothers and sisters about those things, so they might be able to help me and hold me accountable for things. This is the kind of thing you and I have to get into. This is the stuff of good discipleship, is that we're going to take what God says, apply it to our lives, realize he chose us, and he chose you for a good reason. You may not even understand totally why he chose you. None of us, I don't think, really do. But he has some good things in mind. That's why that Jeremiah passage 11 and 29 says, I know the plans that I have for you, God says, to give you a future and to give you a hope. See that? I've got you looking forward, because what you're going through right now is not probably what you really, really enjoy sometimes. Sometimes it is. There's not that everything is not enjoyable. The stuff that doesn't bother us is enjoyable, obviously. But it's the stuff that is tragic, the stuff that's painful, the stuff that's unknown. All those things are things that trouble us. But God says, I want to give you peace so you can have peace with anything, no matter what it is. Peace. That burden on me. So let's move on just a little bit here in the last few minutes we have. Notice this now, moving to Romans 8. And this is one you all know. We quote this one all the time. He says, the Holy Spirit is making intercession for you. We know that. Just know that. This is a fact. This is not what we think or what we hope. God says, if you're my child, my spirit is praying for you. He is constantly praying for you, and he's praying on a God level, not on a man level. See, I'm on a level way beyond your wildest imagination. And he's telling God things about me and you. Only he knows. He knows the answer. I don't know. If I knew, I'd fix it. But I don't know, but he does. The Holy Spirit does. God knows. And so God, this is where it all comes together here, verse 28. And we know, Paul says, that all things, Romans 8, 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Look at that. And to them who are the called, there it is, according to his purpose. You were called by God, and you are the called. That's a particular group of people. Then that's one of the great mysteries of God's choice, is that I call you. You did not call me. I called you. I woke you up out of the death of your reality and the fallenness of your nature that you were born with, and I caused you to know I love you so much that I gave my son, Jesus the Christ, and I put him in your world even before you accepted him or knew him, and then I give you the understanding of who he is and what he has done, and then I call you to study my word, which is the eternal objective voice, the Bible, God's word. We talked about that in the lesson before. And I give you a capacity to understand it, to apply it, and to trust me and believe it. Then I give you confidence that is true. And I give you hope to look forward. Hope is faith for the future, we could say. It's not that, I hope it'll happen, maybe it will, maybe it won't. No, it's God said it, and therefore it is. It's so. Just like when it talks about Abraham, it says that our the patriarch Abraham died not having received the promises. He didn't get everything God promised, but he got enough so he can know, hey, God's going to do everything he promised. So he was able to take up his feet into his bed, breathe his last in, God, you got this. I'm good. See, because you've shown me the whole picture. You've shown me that I will dwell with you. I'll be in your presence. That the seed of my body will be the savior of the world. Abraham had all that in his mind, even though he didn't see it come to pass. God has shown him enough by the birth of his son, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that yes, this is working. God is doing exactly what he promised. I had no seed when he called me. My wife and I were without child, but God has given us children. He has multiplied my seed like he promised, not only through Isaac, which he says, which is through Isaac shall my seed be called. Thy seed be called. He was talking about through that particular line, but he also gave me and allowed me to have Ishmael and all the descendants of him. And he populated the world, giving me sons and daughters that I would otherwise have never had. So God was faithful to his word. He will be faithful to you. He is faithful to you. If you're able to hear my voice today, that's why the writer there says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. In other words, don't let the flesh shut off the blessing. God is giving you a blessing. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to know my spirit will come, and he who began a good work in you will continue to perform it. Philippians 1 and 6. Even until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, till I ratify every promise that I have made to my people, that I will be there with you, bringing you from point A all the way to the end, to point Z, from Alpha to Omega. God says, I got you. And so you got to get in there in faith by faith and say, I trust you, God. I know you called me. I did not call you. And I love you and I want to do this better. Amen. So if we can get right there, I think we can make some serious progress. Amen. All right. So we hope that this lesson has been a blessing to you. And if you have any questions, comments, or anything, of course, write them in. Share this with your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your enemies, everybody. Send us any questions, comments that you may have. Of course, share and comment, and we'll be very blessed to read your comments and all of that. And we do thank God for you tuning in at this time, taking this time to hear a word from the Lord, and we pray that this has been a blessing to you. Continue to pray for Street Gate Ministries. We have gotten back into the prison ministry. We expect to expand that in the coming months, and many other things we're working on that God is making it possible for us to do. And pray for St. Timothy Christian Church. We love you. We bless you. We give the Lord praise for you. We just thank him for you. And like I say, share the message, meditate on it, back it up, roll it again, whatever you got to do. And we are blessed to be able to come at this time. Amen. And we'll be doing virtual now for the Wednesdays. But plan to visit us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. at 11532 Larimore Road in Spanish Lake, Missouri, 63138. You can find those details on our website at teachingbible.org. That's TEACHINGBIBLE.org. And if you'd like to make a donation to the ministry, you can find out how to do that also at teachingbible.org. Or you can do us Cash App at #TeachingBible. Amen. And we thank God for your support. Amen. So we hope this lesson has blessed you this evening, and we look forward to communicating with you again very soon. And thank God for choosing you, and I thank him for choosing me, and we thank him for many others who he will be calling as a result of what he's doing in your life and in mine. Because he's working all things together for good to the ones who love him and the ones who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. And we know that that should be me and you. Amen. So have a blessed evening.